Now it's time for Jenny Mycroft from the New Zealand First Party.
It's not Jenny Mycroft today, it's Derek Bull. We are joined by Derek Bull from New Zealand First. I wanted to speak with Derek because he was present in a select committee meeting at the end of last month, which heard an admission from an Auckland-based property manager, Rachel Khan, that she routinely asks for bank statements of those applying for the property. The committee was hearing submissions on the Residential Tenancies Amendment Bill, number 2, to scrap letting fees. It's become quite controversial, not only because of the question of a breach of privacy, but also the way Rachel Khan talked about possible tenants. Here's a quote. They're paying somebody's mortgage and I see a lot of people who are low socioeconomic and their bank statements literally will read KFC, McDonald's, the dairy, KFC, McDonald's, court fine, trucks that they buy, goods that they can't afford. You know, I see a lot of mismanagement of money. End of quote. We haven't had a chance to speak with Derek on BFM yet, so we start by hearing a bit about him.
Well, I'm Derek Ball. I'm the New Zealand First List MP that's based in Palmerston North. I've been an MP with the party for a term and a bit now, and my main areas of concentrations and that I'm a spokesperson for currently are law and order and social services as well, sprinkled with a few other things, but those are the two main portfolios that I look after.
It's good to have you on the show. So I'm getting in touch because you were a part of this select committee which heard these women's comments. Can you just tell us what your reaction to those comments were?
Well, immediately I was totally and utterly flabbergasted. The blatant admission that not only the property manager was quite open to looking through people's bank statements, but the admission and the reasoning why she was doing so was nothing short of making a moral and value-based judgment on someone's spending habits and then deciding at that point whether they should get the property or not. And what's utterly concerning is that the majority of people who are going for and applying for tenancies are increasingly desperate situations where you've got 40 or 50 people going for the same property and they feel pressured into giving everything that the landlord requests. And there's a line that, it's a very fine line of what a property manager or landlord should be able to ask for. And the pressure is all on the tenants or the prospective tenants, and the prospective tenants don't have any leverage in this. And I know specifically for the majority of your target audience, you know, the rental properties are very scarce, and they're absolutely essential for young people and people going in through to university. They just feel pressured into, and it's, I guess, one of the most concerning things is that this process has been normalised. I mean, it's becoming a normal process, and young people, vulnerable people, desperate people, are just sort of accepting that it's okay. You know, someone's got to stand up and say it's not.
There's a couple of really important things you raised there. One, that is becoming normalised, right, because of the increased desperate need of people to have housing. So just, I guess, breaking a few things down, is this a sort of normalised thing overseas?
Not necessarily. I mean, it depends on what jurisdiction you're looking at. But I mean, I know that there have been concerns about this very exact same thing overseas, and there's restrictions on what property managers and landlords can ask for, and that obviously comes as the privacy of the individual prospective tenant being paramount in everything, and that's what we should be looking at here at the moment. And I think one of the major concerns is that no one knows how widespread this practice is. No one knows how many people have been affected and how many people, quite frankly, are being discriminated against because of judgments that are made by landlords and property managers. And you've got to bear in mind also that the property management industry is not regulated. So any Joe Bloggs can call themselves a property manager with no training, qualifications or experience in what they are deeming or trying to explain away as being assessing someone's ability to spend their money. But, you know, what qualification or right does anybody have, and these property managers, landlords have, to judge someone's spending habits? It doesn't make any sense on any level.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to touch on next. So given your shock, you know, it sort of implies that this is obviously not okay. We all kind of understand that this is really, really inappropriate. Surely there are things in place to stop something like this. Is that what you're saying? There aren't?
No, there's not. It's quite legal for a property manager or a landlord to ask for someone's bank statements. The thing is that the prospective tenant doesn't have to give it, right? But if you've got, like I said, this is the problem where it really unfairly targets desperate, vulnerable, and in cases young, you know, the younger generation of prospective tenants who are desperate for a house. If you've got 40 or 50 people going for the same property, you'll feel obliged to give it, because if you feel that if you don't, then you'll never get the property in the first place. So we've got a very serious situation that's arising. It's sort of like a perfect storm, if you will, in regards to the housing unavailability, the rise in the number of people who are going for the rental properties, and people feeling pressured into giving more and more personal information just to secure the tenancy. And I think that this is part of it being normalised. And like I said, when you've got property managers and landlords thinking it's okay to do that, then something has gone very terribly wrong.
Well, and it also it allows direct discrimination, really.
Absolutely.
The framing in the Herald was based on this KFC thing, right? So looking at or her comments being about people that spend money on KFC, McDonald's, court fines, you know, implies that she's not going to give that house to that person.
Well, you know, the point is that there is no advantage for landlord or property manager to scroll through someone's spending habits. They can get, you know, their excuses at the moment that they're doing it to see if people can afford the rent. But you can do that with credit checks. You can do it with references from previous landlords. You can get it with income verification or, you know, just a myriad of other things. There is absolutely zero advantage at all from scrolling through people's spending habits apart from making those moral and value-based judgments. And then if you're doing that and deciding based on your moral decision or moral judgment on someone, that's a mechanism for discrimination. And like you just said, the comments that were made clearly, you know, are, I mean, she mentioned the lower socioeconomic people and then started rambling on about KFC and McDonald's and court fines. I mean, who is she to say that, and who is she to judge on that basis? And that's what's utterly concerning. We need to find out how many people have been discriminated against because of this kind of stuff. It's just it's totally unacceptable.
Yeah, it does seem. I mean, obviously her name is being, you know, put in the media because it's come out like this. But you're right. We don't know how widespread this is, and actually whether this is happening all of the time.
Yeah, and I in the Select Committee I questioned her, and I did say in the Select Committee that I thought that it was outrageous that she was doing it. But I asked her how if this was standard, and unfortunately she said it was getting more and more common, and more widespread. So, you know, we need to really have a look at this.
Yeah. What is the next step? How does one start to control this?
Well, I mean, we've got a few options, and I think that one of the major ones that we seriously need to consider is a Select Committee-based inquiry where we can ask for people publicly to come forward, and we can ask the industry players, landlords, property managers, tenants, everybody to come forward and discuss this issue. And
Do you mean tenants also?
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't there an issue of safety there They might, you know, if they come forward, they might lose their house.
Not necessarily. I think that's one of the good things about making a submission in a select committee. You can have it as secret or private, and you don't have to put your name forward or anything of the, or make yourself public. Your identity public. What we need is information. We don't need. Faces to this to promote it, and this is not what it's about. It's about gathering that information to find out how widespread this is, and that's one mechanism of doing it.
But even if it was only one person, surely that should indicate there needs to be some kind of regulation.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you've got options coming forward. I mean, and that's part of what a select committee inquiry would be able to do is we'll get advice from advisors about what legislation needs to change, if it needs to change. Do we need a regulation in the market? What would that look like? So it will give us a broader range and a bigger picture about what we can do and what we should do.
Mm. Just lastly, could I get you to explain what the Select Committee was about, the Residential Tenancies Amendment Bill. Could you explain what that is?
Well, that was just hearing submissions on the process of getting rid of letting fees, actually. So it was quite a separate topic to the one that we're discussing at the moment. And that was what took me by surprise as well, because I don't think I was expecting anything along these lines. And she quite openly and blatantly admitted it, and I was just flabbergasted. But there you go.
That was Derek Ball from New Zealand First. Just want to say, reiterate that's a case of no regulation in the property market.
We've been speaking with Jenny Marcroft from the New Zealand First Party.
The Wire.